Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Following Jesus feels like sanding the floor, painting the house, waxing the car. It feels like we're just putting in time and there's no payoff. But all of that time we've put in is building muscle memory. We are preparing for the time when we'll need it. That time that comes when we wonder what's happened to us. Sometimes those are big things. Sometimes there's the death or the car accident or the whatever. Sometimes we just get into a funk. Life has lost its meaning. Last Monday, I came to work and I was exhausted. Absolutely flat out exhausted. Had no will to be here. Had no desire to be doing anything. And then Kirk came into my office and said, we have a church council meeting. We're going to present the budget for next year. Like, great, great. On top of all of this, then I got the budget. And there's a little work to do on the budget. About noon, I'm just feeling like a nap. Just wanted to go home and sleep. But I've got to set the example, right? I've got 18 or 19 people to work here, and you don't have time for not being fully engaged. And then I realized that some of this maybe had to do with the fact that my dog died. Dog died a few days before that, and that shouldn't really affect you, right? But it does. And then I turned 50 on Wednesday. And that shouldn't affect me either, because I don't care about how old I am, right? But then all those black balloons, you know. So I get home from work on Wednesday, and I'm just done. And Brenda says, let's go out for dinner for your birthday. And it's like, as Mr. Miyagi would say, "Ay." So I went, got home, 6:30-ish, and all I wanted to do was go to bed. So I did. 7 o'clock, I climbed into bed, and I prayed myself to sleep. All week long, I'd just been working on muscle memory, continuing to do my devotionals. Every person I see, I'm praying, Father, bless them, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Every person I see, working on that muscle memory, working on my Jesus prayer as I go to sleep. Inhale, Lord Jesus Christ, exhale, have mercy on me. Just working on that muscle memory, even though I didn't feel it. And then Thursday, I wake up. Hadn't gone for a run in a week and 3 days. I just didn't feel it. And I loved to run. So Thursday, I wake up 5 o'clock and I'm out the door running. Oh, it felt so good. And I came home and I was giddy. Like the fog was gone. And I didn't do anything. It wasn't a miracle. It wasn't like God said, okay, since you prayed, then you get to experience this joy. It was just that I'd persevered through that stage, through that darkness. And it was that little perseverance, those perseverances that have succeeded in persevering through over the years that let me know, muscle memory-wise, that when the next one comes, I just have to hold on. And each little one you make it through prepares you for the big ones. Walking the line that Jesus offers us, following the way of Jesus, even though it feels like sanding the floor, is preparing us for the times when we truly need him. As Jesus was walking towards Jerusalem for the last time, he had thousands of people walking that line, following him, filled with joy because he was right there. He was offering these words of wisdom that were transforming their lives, and they were shouting and singing his praises as they entered Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of David. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And they entered Jerusalem and they shut the city down. So many people shouting and cheering that Jerusalem shuts down. And the merchants and the priests and all of the people come to see what is going on. And they come up to this thousands of people who are chanting and singing, what are you talking about? Who is this person? And they say, you haven't heard of Jesus? Oh, come now, you have to have heard of Jesus. And they start sharing their experiences, their testimony. This is Jesus from Nazareth, the prophet, the son of David. And things began to settle down a little bit, and the crowd started to realize they're in Jerusalem, the Holy Land, the Mecca. And they take out their cell phones and they start taking selfies. And they go up to the souvenir salespeople and they start looking through the souvenirs and they pull out the little souvenirs of the temple and they say, wow, the temple. Hey, wait a minute. Should I buy a souvenir of Jerusalem when it says made in China on the bottom? And then everything seemed like it was going to be okay. And Jesus went to the temple. Jesus had to go to the temple. And as he approached the temple, he saw the money changers. Now, the money changers are there because the chief priests have declared that Roman money is a sacrilege and it isn't allowed in the temple. So they have to exchange it for temple money that can only be spent in the temple. And when Jesus saw the exchange rate, he flipped his lid, blew a gasket, couldn't stand it, started kicking tables, throwing money. He turned around and he saw the dove sellers. Now, doves are the only sacrifice that the poor people can offer. They can't afford sheep or goats. God knows they couldn't afford a cow. Leviticus says, bring a dove. You can catch a bird, right? Well, if he hadn't caught a bird, the dove sellers were there. And when Jesus saw what they were charging for the doves, he completely lost it. Kicked over the chairs, kicked over the cages, birds and feathers and people and money flying everywhere. He took a deep breath, turned and walked away. He saw off to his right, off to the edge, the very side, the place where the people who were untouchable were allowed to gather. They weren't allowed in the temple, of course, the blind and the lame. No, they were given a special place just for those people. And Jesus worked his way over to those people and he got down in the dirt with them and he listened to their stories and he touched them and he prayed for them and he healed them. And then he left. And the next morning he came back on the temple stairs. He was teaching. And the chief priests and their minions were ready for him. They surrounded him. By whose authority do you do this? Now, Jesus never answers a question with a straight answer. He looks at him and says, tell me. You all know John the Baptist. Many scribes and Pharisees went out to be baptized by him, I understand. By whose authority was that baptism? Now, the chief priests were afraid. They were filled with so much fear. Fear that things might change. Fear that they might lose their status or power. Fear that the people might not give them authority anymore. So they were afraid to answer that question. They huddled up. How do we answer this question? And they finally decided that there was no way that would allow them to keep their authority. So they said, nah, Jesus, we don't know. And Jesus said, well, then I'm not going to answer your question either. And he goes immediately into a parable that the chief priests know is aimed right at them, a parable in which Jesus says there were children, children who were told by their parent what to do. They said, yeah, Dad, I'll go. Chief priests, do you recognize yourselves? Do you recognize yourselves saying that you follow God? Showing off to all the people in your fine clothes that you are followers of God. Yet when you go at home at night, how do you behave? And then the father went to the other children, the children who had been kicked since the day they were born, the children who said there can't possibly be a God, and if there is a God, I want nothing to do with him because look at my life. And he said to those children, go and follow. And they said, no way, not a chance. But then they did. Then when they hit rock bottom and had nowhere else to go, then they started to walk the line. And they discovered that everything that God had said was true. And they have entered the kingdom of heaven shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. And you, chief priests, are standing there in hell gnashing your teeth. And he turned and walked away. What Jesus offered is transformation. What Jesus offers is a question for all of us. Have you experienced that transformation? Do you know where my authority comes from? Jesus here today saying, from where does my authority come? Is it from God or is it from human beings? Now, the simple question is, hey, we're Christians. Of course it comes from God. But the next question is a doozy. In 1,000 words or less, support your answer. Quick. It's not easy. That 1,000 word answer takes a long time to prepare. And when somebody comes to us on their knees, crushed by life, and says, how do I get out? And we say something like, oh, just trust Jesus. And they say, yeah, right. How has that made a difference in your life? We better have an answer. We better have a testimony. We better have done the muscle memory work, the sanding the floor, the walking the line, the following Jesus, or that opportunity will just disappear. As I was thinking about this sermon, that tax collector metaphor started ringing really true. You see, I spent a lot of time as a tax collector. And while I was a tax collector, it felt really good. I was collecting lots and lots of money, collecting lots and lots of things, collecting a lot of status, I thought. Oh, but then the bottom fell out. In my case, it was a lack of meaning. What I was doing, collecting things, had no meaning anymore. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. Exactly what was it? And I have to blame eBay. Now, that may sound strange, but I was in the collectible business. And we made NASCAR collectibles, amongst lots of other things. But at the time, Department 56, and I know you've all got them, they're in your attic and you haven't taken them out in a long time, but you're soon going to be dusting the boxes off. The Department 56 stuff that y'all bought because it was going to appreciate in value and they put limited numbers on it. Well, we did that with NASCAR vehicles. And we even gold plated them. 24 karat gold, but it was really, really, really thin. And we make 24 karat gold, 24 scale die cast cars like this big for $3. And we sell them for $29 to Walmart and Target. And we couldn't make enough. And it was silliness. And people were thinking that they were going to put their kids through college on their collection of vehicles and Department 56 and all the other things they were collecting. It wasn't just my stuff. It was a lot of stuff. People thought that they were collecting limited edition Department 56 and you name it. And then eBay came along. And everybody realized exactly how much their collections were worth. You couldn't even ship it for what it was worth. I mean, it cost more to ship to somebody that bought it than it was actually worth. And I started to realize that a lot of what I had made really had no meaning. And it was this existential crisis. And the only way out of that crisis, well, I tried one way, and I couldn't drink myself numb enough. I gave that the best shot I could. And a friend of mine said, why don't you come hang out at the hospital with me? And that sounded like a much better plan than the way I was walking. And then we started visiting shut-ins. And then we started mowing people's yards together. And then we started ministry. This was a friend who was a pastor, and he showed me how to walk the line. He showed me what it meant to follow Jesus, and life started to get better. And I have a testimony to share that what Jesus says is true, and the reason that Jesus has authority for me is because by following him, my life is completely and utterly changed. I am not the same person I used to be. I know what it means to be born again, to be transformed. Jesus has authority that goes so far beyond what I can even say because I've experienced it. And the way that I work my muscle memory, the way that I practice that, one of the ways, my favorite ways, is meditative prayer. In the devotional that you have, the devotional I hope you pick up, offers an example of the way I pray every day. One of the prayers that I pray is Psalm 119 begins with, "O Lord, how can a young man keep his way pure?" Give me the first slide. My clicker isn't working. We'll see. And I've modified that to, "How can I keep my way pure?" Because this is my prayer to Jesus. How can I keep my way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. Now, I've prayed this over and over and over again. In your devotional each week, I'm asking you to pray the same text over and over and over again each week. And you may say, "Yeah, but Eric, like, seriously? Every day you want me to pray the same thing?" I'm just going to say one word. Frozen. If you know all of the lyrics to the songs from Frozen, then you can pray this devotional every day. Oops. "With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." Now we get to the center of the poem. It's a chiasm, which is a form of Hebrew poetry where the first line and the last line are parallel. And then they coincide concentrically. So, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes" is the center. And the next verse, "With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth." This is the center of this poem. "Blessed are you, Lord. With my lips I will declare all of the statutes of your mouth." This isn't a simple prayer that, "God, fix me. God, heal me." No, this is a prayer that, "For what you have given me, Lord, now I will go out and do. For I delight in the way of your decrees as much as all riches. I will meditate on your precepts. I will fix my eyes on your ways. I will develop my muscle memory. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." So my prayer for you is that over the next 4 weeks, you will practice this form of prayer. That you will dive into meditative prayer and that you will let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I'm quite sure that every day you are going to see that same piece of scripture and it is going to say different things to you. God, some of my favorite understandings of how the Holy Spirit was present in scripture. I don't remember who said it, but if you say it enough, it becomes your own, so I'll say this is my own. It isn't so important as to how the scriptures got down on paper, as it is that the Holy Spirit is there as the words come off the paper. The Holy Spirit will be there showing you new ways to hear and see as you meditate on those words, practicing your muscle memory so that you can go and walk the line.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.